Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Not Even D2, the podcast covering Division III sports through interviews with those involved in Division III.
We got a really kind of a different episode today. We traveled down to the We Are D3 Combine at Lehman College today, interviewed a bunch of different players, coaches. It was definitely a good one today.
Yeah. So the energy was just crazy at the Pro Combine, and it was just a special day, you know, for everybody involved, the players, being able to provide, give themselves an opportunity to move on into pro basketball is just a special feeling that not many Division III athletes get a chance to do. And coaches, you know, more experience, you know, some of those guys at Lehman College are just assistants. They took a bigger role today, and that was cool to see. And then obviously for the TBT guys, being able to recruit and also just keep providing a platform for overseas scouts and agents to be able to come and watch these talented guys play was a really cool experience.
I think another thing, too, to add on to your point, like, we talk to a lot of different coaches and players, right? And we ask them, you know, why do they enjoy Division III so much, or what has kept them around, right? And a lot of them say the connections. Like, some people, like, the amount of connections that we made today just with different players, different coaches, like, it was a dope environment. And we were talking about this on the ride back. It's because we all know that when you come from Division III or any level below that, you got to get out the mud at that point. You got to really grind for it. And, you know, I think we all kind of can respect that about one another. Like, all those players today, they're just trying to fight for a dream because, you know, they just not looked at like the Division I or Division II players. And that's not right because they're just as good. You know what I mean? So just to see that, everyone just bonding and, you know, playing hard, that was a dope. It was a dope day.
Yeah. I mean, to add on to that, I mean, the first sprint, it was like, whoa, like, these guys have something on their back. They're playing for something more. Because it's also just changing the narrative. If three of these guys get a pro contract, it says a lot about Division III. And let me tell you, based off what I saw, there's going to be a lot more than three contracts being signed. But more about this episode. So we interviewed a ton of guys who were at the combine. Apologize to anyone we didn't get to. But just few questions, most of them were similar, so don't get mad about the sense of repetitiveness. You're going to see a bunch of unique personalities, and in the YouTube chapter, you'll be able to find the exact player you want to see if you want to skip to a specific player. And I think you're just going to be surprised. We'll have some clips. There's just a ton of hoopers, people flying out of the gym, people shooting the lights out, people with the best handle I've seen. So it was just a great day. And I got a question for you. Like, what players or matchups were you most, like, invested in, or like, wow, this is good basketball?
I mean, to start off with, obviously, Justice. That's my boy. Wanted to see him do well. And then Alex Sobel, friend of the podcast. Definitely wanted to see him do well today, see him hoop. Teja, obviously another friend of the podcast. Wanted to see him hoop and do his thing. You know, even like Hank Morgan, too, like, he was, you know, he's an upstate guy, too. So it's like, we were talking about this with somebody, like, sometimes the upstate, you know, New York basketball scene doesn't really get recognized, you know, like the Northeast in terms of like New England. Who else? You know, Jerron Fairweather. You know, he was a really good player at Eastern. So many good players, bro. Honestly, like even that kid Emerson. We were doing like research and like I really wanted to talk to him because he was club basketball like national champion. So like then he transferred to Bridgewater State and was killing. So like I wanted to see what he looked like. So it was a lot of good players. Too many to speak about.
Yeah, I agree. Just like the stories you hear at Division III or from Division III players, you don't hear at other divisions. Like,
yeah.
What Division I player started out as a club basketball player and now is like killing at his school? But also, there was just like people I never heard of, like Tali. He hit 23 three-pointers in front of me, like in a row. So it was just like these dudes are really skilled, and we don't got to keep going on and on about it. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and let's get into it.
All right, so we're here with my guy, Hank Morgan, from Hamilton College, originally from Caldwell, New Jersey. How you feeling today, bro?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited to get here, get my foot in the door, you know, early with some other guys that are looking to get some pro contracts. So it's exciting. It's an exciting day.
You have an extra year at Hamilton. So just talk to me about what the thought process of coming here this year instead of waiting until you're done with your college career.
Yeah, well, Tasia and I, we got this email from our coach, and we were like, I think it's a great opportunity to get your name out there early. And like I said, get your foot in the door early. You know, get your name out to agents, get your name out to pro scouts. And even though they can't really, you know, contact you direct, like right away for contract reasons, it's nice for them to get to know you, follow you the next season, get your stats, and, you know, get on you early. So it's good to start the process early.
So you played with one pro already. I forget, Eric, is that his name?
Yeah.
So he's playing over in Ireland right now. What has he told you about the pro game, and you know, how have you like put it into your game right now?
Yeah, shout out Eric Anderson. He's killing over there in the Super League. I think the big thing is like you're playing against grown ass men. Like it's different than college. Just like college is different from high school. It's just another step up in you know, being physical and being, you know, playing through contact and stuff like that. And Eric's one of the most like physical like specimens I've seen. So that's why he's killing up there in the Super League, and I'm sure he'll level up next year, and he's in line for a good contract.
You just finished your junior year, averaged over 18 points a game. You were first team all NESCAC, great accomplishment. What should people know about Hank and his game?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play hard every night. I'm going to give whatever you need me to give, whether that's scoring, whether that's creating for others, whether that's playing defense. I'm working on filling those holes in my game that I think are weaknesses, to be ready for the next level. I think as a scorer, I'm already there. But, you know, I'm really working on my defense. I'm focused on creating for others to really fill those holes and be a complete player.
So, and they're lining up right now. So, quick question. You played in the NESCAC the last 3 years. How do you think the NESCAC has prepared you or is going to prepare you for the pro level?
Yeah, especially after COVID, with guys with their extra year of eligibility staying at their schools, really physical, grown-ass men, really talented. It's just great preparation for the next level. One of the best D3 conferences out there. So, yeah.
Well, that's going to do it with Hank Morgan. We'll let you get into the huddle. Appreciate you. Good luck the rest of the day.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right, we're here with Mark Anthony Fidelis from Maryland. Just finished his career at Salem. How you feeling today?
Feeling great, man. Great opportunity. Love the atmosphere. Love the guys already. So
you mentioned you're from PG County, and I got to bring this up. There's a lot of great hoopers that are from PG County. Kevin Durant, Quinn Cook, to name a few. Yep.
You can go down the list. I went to the Matha Catholic High School. It's a pretty like prominent high school out there, PG County. So just a lot of bump, a lot of guys in our conference, out our conference, AAU, Team Takeover, DC Premier.
Yeah.
We just got bumped, man. Like, it's in the water. That's what they say from PG County. It's in the water. So, yeah.
That's tough. We were talking a little bit off air about your career, and you have a very interesting story. So just talk a little about your college career and how you've been here today.
Yeah, so starting off, I mean, coming from high school, you know, going to DeMatha, a lot of guys go Division I or even high major Division II. I took a different route. I went Division III, and I told myself, yo, I'm going to go in here and kill. So my first year, it went really well. So I was able to be blessed with the opportunity to attend Division II university on scholarship, Lock Haven University of Pennsylvania in the PSAC conference. From there, I was able to play, finish up, get my undergrad. And then I wanted to get my master's with my COVID year. So I was able to leave and go to Salem University in West Virginia. And from there, I was able to get my master's in 10 months. So that's like my career, really. Yeah.
So you transferred, you know, from three different schools. Yes. And, you know, that may come with a lot of adversities, like playing under a new system, new teammates, new coaches. So how did you deal with that? And what would be your advice to hoopers maybe going through adversity like that?
Going through adversity. Adversity really builds your character, I would say. For me personally, I felt like I've been in every position like a basketball player could be. And I've been the man on the team. I've been off the bench. I've been sixth man, eighth man, fighting for minutes. Like, I've dealt with it all, honestly. So I would just say for, like, hoopers out there, man, just stay at it. Keep faith. Stay positive. Find something that, like, find your why. I think that's really what it is with a lot of hoopers. They don't have a why. They just hoop in a hoop. Like, you have to have a why in order to deal with this adversity, in order to keep pushing, in order to deal with, okay, I played 30 minutes this game, and then I played 13 minutes. Okay, instead of, like, pouting, what can I do the next practice to up my minutes? You know, it's just coming from the math, it was just a lot of adversity there. So I felt like I was able to transition that into college so that when I was dealt with adversity, I handled it pretty well.
You're a small guard, and I was reading at the Division II level, you averaged 13.5 points. So just talk a little about your game and what people should know about Mark Anthony.
About my game, man. I love to float. Well, I shot 40% from three, so catch and shoot off the dribble. At Lock Haven, they had me a little on ball and then a little off ball, really, so I can do both, honestly. Salem, pretty much the same, a little on ball, off ball. We had a lot of guards that like played similar, so it was just about finding, okay, what can I do different from the next guard to stay on the floor? But yeah, like, I'm going to bring it. I'm going to play defense. I'll pick up full. I'm going to talk to my teammates. I take charges as well. So, yeah, I can get scrappy. So, but yeah, like, I love to score, though. I guess that's probably like my best attribute, like scoring the ball. Yeah, and just being in the right place at the right time. Yeah.
So you played at the D2 level. You also played at the D3 level. And now you're finished up your career. So what are you like looking to improve upon your game? And also, how do you think playing at those two different levels helped you and you're now venturing like into playing pro basketball?
Okay. I played at both levels. It was a learning experience, honestly. I would say I was surprised by the level of play. To me, it was a big difference, honestly. So I would just say, like, you know, just hoops is hoops, though. Honestly, hoops is hoops. There's hoopers at every level. NAIA, JUCO, I've been able to see like all of it. So
what are you looking to improve upon in your game this offseason?
In my game, for the pro level, I know I have to play the one a lot. In college, I play the two primarily. So just being more of a point guard, getting others involved, being vocal, just show that I'm a leader, honestly. I think that's what I'm really looking forward to improve on for the next level.
This is going to be the last question. Obviously, you've been at three different schools playing with a bunch of different guys. How would they kind of describe you as a teammate?
Off the court or on the court? Both.
Both.
I mean, off the court, I feel like I got along with, like, all my guys. Man, I'm a barber as well. So, like, I was always getting my teammates free haircuts, you know, looking out for my guys and all that. Yeah. Then on the court, man, I loved all my teammates. There was no teammate I really had any issues with overall. So, I mean, every environment is new for me. I like to meet new people, get to know somebody, you know, just – yeah, and then my mom will always cook for me, so it's certain teammates. I'm like, yo, pull up, get some food, you know. So I was always trying to be there for my guys. So, yeah.
We appreciate you hopping on, my guy.
Sure,
good luck. Yeah, good luck rest of the day, bro.
Thank you.
We're here with Ryan Clements, just finished his career at Hampden Sydney, who was ranked number one for majority of the season, also from Georgia. So just how's it feel being in New York right now, playing at this WRD3 Combine?
It feels good. It's a lot of competition. Here's my first time in New York, so I'm just enjoying it, just taking it all in. I'm glad to be a part of a special event like this and an honor to be here.
So like he just said, you just finished up a great career at Hampden Sydney with Coach Kimbrough. Shout out to Coach Kimbrough.
Coach K.
He's the guy. But just talk about how you think, you know, playing at a high-level school like Hampden Sydney can prepare you for your overseas, you know, ventures.
Yeah, just playing in the D3 level itself is just kind of, it's not really the same as a D1. It's more of a slow down game, more fundamental, less athletic. I mean, it's athletes in there, but it's more so just focus on skill of the game and just playing basketball the right way. So I just think just doing that at a school like Hampden Sydney can prepare me to play in any league professionally.
I was watching a little bit of you guys playing, and you were flying out the gym. But that's not the only thing to your game. So just talk a little about Ryan's game and what people should know about how you play basketball.
I really do whatever the team needs, honestly. Like freshman year at Stinney, I was probably our second leading scorer. And then like this year, I wasn't really scoring at all. But just because the team needed, I kind of had shifted my role to more of a defensive mindset. And then it showed to help lead us all the way to the tournament and eventually to the national championship game. But just whatever the team needs, I can score, pass, rebound, defend. All-around guy for the team, honestly.
Right. So, you know, we see you out here, you know, talking to all the guys, you know, making jokes, having a good time.
I beat a lot of guys in here right now. I saw a couple of guys we beat in the tournament. I've got Nick from Farmingdale's in here, a great player. Yeah. Casey Draper, I played in conference with him last year, a hell of a player. Tali Oden, a good friend of mine, played at Ferrum. Yeah. But it's just a bunch of guys I played with throughout my career here. Just good to see them out at an event like this.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, how do you think your teammates would describe you in the locker room?
That's a good question. I'm normally probably definitely talkative, always talking, always keeping the energy high for certain. Just energy guy, honestly, probably that's what it said. I always laughing a lot, always joking. I'm not really ever serious unless it's halftime and we're down. But, like, even then, it's probably like, all right, fellas, let's go. But, nah, I'm definitely always – probably the light in the locker room for certain in most cases.
So obviously basketball is a tough sport, go through a lot of ups and downs throughout the season. We actually talked to Coach Kimbrough about this, you know, like adversity, like losing in the national championship, that hurts. So just talk about how you dealt with adversity throughout your career and what advice you would have for hoopers dealing with adversity.
Just don't give up. It's going to make you better. It's never, if it doesn't break you, it's going to make you stronger. So just that, and like for us, I would say for our team, it was probably my sophomore year in 2020-21 season was COVID. We practiced probably over 100 times. We only played 6 games. We ended up being 2-4. So just that season right there just was kind of like a pause on our success. Like why, like what happened here? Like why did this happen? Why weren't we successful? So just going through that with those guys, I feel like that helped build us the run we was able to make this season.
I mean, you know, it's been a great interview with you, bro. I'm glad we were able to finally get you on the
podcast. He stopped ducking.
Good luck rest of the day, bro.
All right, we're here with Tali Oden from Virginia. Just finished his final year at Ferrum College, playing in the ODAC. How you feeling today?
Feeling good. I think I just shot pretty well, so a good start.
He did just shoot 23 of 25 from the three-point line, so that's good news.
This is actually a perfect transition. What do you think people should know about your game that they might not know?
I can score very well. I feel like I scored better than I got credit for in college. But on top of that, I pass the ball really well too. It's a lot. I feel like I can do a lot of different things. So I don't really know what to say about it.
So obviously you're playing in the ODAC, a lot of competition. What areas of your game are you looking to improve transitioning from the ODAC into maybe a professional role?
My shooting. I feel like I could have shot way better last year percentage-wise. My assist-to-turnover ratio, I think that could be a little bit better than what it was last year. But overall, just everything. I'm trying to get better at everything. So I want to be a well-rounded player everywhere. So that's pretty much.
The ODAC is one of the best conferences in Division III. How do you think that's prepared you just for professional opportunities?
Like you said, it's one of the best in the nation, and there's a lot of great coaching, a lot of good players. So I feel like I'm prepared to play anywhere, because I feel like the ODAC is like a D2 conference almost. Like it's a lot of good players and good coaching. So I feel like I'm well prepared. Help me a lot.
Does any of you know Casey Draper's here from Roanoke? There's a few other ODAC players. Does this feel a little like more personal seeing them in the gym as well?
I mean, one of them on my team, so it can't be too personal. But, I mean, honestly, it's personal with everybody. I'm trying to get a job, so I'm going at everybody. It don't really matter who it is.
So sometimes with basketball, it's not always the most, you know, perfect sport. And you talked about maybe you could have shot better last year. So how do you think you deal with just adversities on the court? And what would be your piece of advice to people?
Breathe. That's the biggest thing. Just breathe. Focus on your breathing whenever things going wrong. Just breathe and just everything will slow down. That's what helps me.
That's going to do it with Tali Oden. appreciate you helping us out.
Yes, sir. Gotcha. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. We're here with my boy, Dom Lamorta, formerly at Alfred University, now into the training business, but looking to get his feet back in the waters and the basketball side of things. So let's just start. How you doing today?
Doing well, man. I appreciate you guys being here. First off, sick to see you guys here, obviously. You know, starting from where you were to now seeing you guys at something like this is really cool, and happy for you guys. Training has been going well, obviously, you know, diving deep into that. But, you know, in my free time, I still have the itch to play. So saw the opportunity and, you know, wanted to give it a try and come over here. And I'm the old man on the block this weekend, so I'm going to see what happens.
Speaking of just, like, training and staying ready, what does your preparation look like on a game-to-game basis?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm very, very deep into the, you know, the preparation side because, you know, obviously as a trainer, you're now taking that and putting it into your clients and whatnot. So for me, it's, you know, taking care of my body, obviously getting shots up and stuff like that, as everybody does. But being really intentional with what I'm doing, because obviously being a little bit older, I've been able to see, you know, how things work at the higher levels. So I'm able to kind of put that into my own sessions and whatnot.
You led Alfred to an Empire Championship in one of your years at college. And I know how you are as a basketball player, but a lot of people might not know. Like you said, you're the old man on the block. So what should people know about you and your game?
I'm a competitor, man. Like, you'll see. You know, in the testing, you know, these young guys are probably going to get me a little bit. But when it comes down to hooping, obviously with the basketball IQ and understanding the game on a higher level, you know, that's what I bring to the table, I think. And especially be able to help, you know, some of the younger guys on the squad, hopefully, you know, get to where they want to go with this TBT tournament. Yeah.
So, you know, again, with the training aspect of yourself, and you said you're like the older guy in here. So what are you like looking to work on just on a month to month basis? Like, what do you feel like you really need to improve upon?
Consistently with myself, you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, every single day I work on all the things that, you know, something that you'll see about me when I play is I'm very versatile. You know, I do a lot of things because when I was, you know, in college, this is all I did. You know, I was a basketball junkie. I was in the gym at all times. So, you know, all parts of my game, you know, are polished because I've worked on it for a long time. I think that the one thing that I've always wanted to continue to do is grow in terms of the basketball IQ for myself, but not only like the training realm, to be able to just understand X's and O's, because I think it's a big thing when you get to that higher level is understanding how to create advantages and spacing and all that stuff. So that would be my answer for that.
This is going to be the final question. You were on the podcast, actually, one of the first episodes. Great episode. If you haven't watched it, go watch that. But you've dealt with a lot of adversities in your career. So just talk a little about your college career and how you dealt with adversities.
So I have a ton of different battles that I went through, you know, including the, you know, the basketball side of things, but also, you know, like a mental side of things. Something that in my business now that I currently run, Different Official, that I'll be incorporating with my guys to do type like consulting type of stuff, to be able to kind of take my journey, what I went through, and be able to help a lot of, you know, whether it's collegiate athletes, young athletes, get over that mental battle, because that's such a big thing in today's world, in the sports world. And I want to be able to provide that information because I've been able to overcome it and now, you know, do what I love every single day. So that's my goal and journey.
Word. Well, that's going to do it. We appreciate you getting on, my boy. Good luck the rest of the day. So we're here with Casey Draper, originally from Roanoke College in Virginia, transferred to Assumption for this last year. How you feeling today, bro?
I'm feeling good, ready to go, show what I can do.
Obviously, this is a highly anticipated event, the first ever We Are D3 Pro Combine. Everyone has their own preparation for events or big games, so what's your game-to-game preparation look like?
You know, just stay in the moment, put my work in, have confidence in what I do. Right now, it's obviously summer, so trying to get better. Bulk up in the weight room a little bit, lifting a good amount, do some skill workouts, do some shooting workouts throughout the week. Just try to do something daily, make sure my body feels good and I'm ready to go.
So, you know, you transfer from D3 to D2. So I'm just interested to hear, like, what are your opinions just about D3 in general? Because sometimes, you know, the narrative can just be, you know, not negative, but just not enough respect put into D3. So what would you say about that?
You know, definitely sometimes those people that are talking have probably never actually watched a D3 basketball game.
Yeah.
The skill level at D3 is very, very high, especially compared to any YMCA you walk into. Any D3 player is going to go in there and be one of the best players on the floor.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of skill there. Obviously, there's not going to be as much size or athleticism, but in terms of skill level and quality of basketball, it's it's up there just as good as any, you know, like low major D1 or some good D2 programs. So my advice to them would just be to go watch the D3 game and then see what they think after it's over with.
You had a great career at the D3 level at Roanoke, playing in the ODAC, but in your career at Assumption, you also had a great career. You were third team all NE10, averaged 18 points a game. So what should people know about Casey and his game?
I'm versatile. I can do a little bit of everything. You know, I've transitioned into more of a three-point shooter, play off the catch. So I can knock down the three, and then once that starts to go, I can kind of play off of that. So I can finish at the rim. I can shoot the mid-range. I like to consider myself a three-range scorer, three-level scorer. So a little bit of everything. I can play back to the basket if I have a mismatch. So just versatility would be the biggest thing, and play off my shot.
So, you know, sometimes basketball is the most perfect sport. There's a lot of, you know, mistakes that can happen within a game or even adversities that you may deal with during a season. And you obviously transferred from D3 to D2. And, yeah, you did have a good year, but that doesn't mean you can't deal with adversity or have to adjust. So talk about that process and how you, you know, dealt with any adversity this season.
Yeah, so the transition from D3 to D2 was definitely eye-opening a little bit, especially at the rim. A lot more size, a lot more athleticism. I had to use a lot of misdirects and some shot fakes. There was definitely a learning curve, especially at the beginning of the year. And I also played a lot of different positions this year as the season went on. We had some guys come back from injury, so I started in the backcourt with the point guard, moved down when we went smaller lineup. I played the five for a couple games, and then by the end of the year, I was playing in the corner. And so it was always a learning curve and adjustment period between one to the next. So there was a couple games where I didn't play well. But the biggest thing is just to have confidence in yourself and know that the work that you put in is going to come to light at some point. You just got to stay with it. And no matter the situation that's in, as long as you keep your head down, keep working, do the right things, like, it's going to work out. You just got to keep confidence in yourself. Don't let anyone take your confidence away, because once that happens, then you can spiral and a lot of bad things can happen. So just remain confident in yourself and know that the work you put in is going to come to light.
I really like that, the humbleness, down to earth. So I appreciate that advice and good luck for the rest of the day. I appreciate you joining.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, bro. All right, we're here with Emerson Halblad. That's it, right?
Yep.
All right, let's get it.
All right, let's go.
So you've had an interesting college journey, which we're going to talk about, but let's just start. Like, how does it feel? How you feeling? What's your performance so far? Just talk to me about today.
Yeah, it's been great. I'm really appreciating the opportunity. I've been feeling good. Tests went pretty well. You know, I've never done them before, but I thought I handled my own, especially being, you know, 6'9", 240. moving pretty well. Something I've been really trying to work on the last couple of years. So I'm pretty happy with it. And game one went so far so good, you know.
What do you think people should know about your game?
You know, I love to execute. I love to play a little bit slower, but obviously in the, you know, the game's moving towards more fast pace. So I'm really trying to adapt to that. I think that's one of my like key takeaways, of being adaptable. So I like to do whatever the team needs, you know, be the gritty, you know, do all the dirty work inside, do what needs to be done. You know, whether it doesn't show up on the stat sheets, I'm always fine with that, man. You know, I just want to win. That's what it's all about. So,
talking more about winning, you actually won a club championship at Purdue University. So just talk about, you know, like, what it's like being a part of a club team and the differences you notice from your jump at Purdue to where you finished at Bridgewater State.
Absolutely, man. You know, at club, and we were just playing, like, we didn't have a coach. You know, we had, like, very little support. It was just guys coming together that just wanted to play basketball. And that's the, like, true love of the game. So, you know, having that group of guys, like, they're still some of my best friends to this day. Absolutely loved it. And I tried to bring that to Bridgewater and as I transitioned into that, back to college. So I try to be that teammate that, you know, always try to support, always trying to help, do whatever on and off the court for my team, while still keeping the love for the game going, you know, while just having a little bit more resources, a little bit more structure. So I loved it.
Real quick about this club basketball thing. So I see on TikTok all the time that Strictly B-Ball, like, they cover a lot of those club basketball games. And I think that's so dope. Like, you know, and the fact that you're winning a championship and then you come to D3 and hoop, bro, that's a dope thing.
Yeah, man, it was great. You know, my sophomore year, I really refound my passion for basketball and joined the club team again, but I got cut short because of COVID.
Yeah.
So junior year, you know, we weren't playing any games, just hooping together. Senior year, I really worked hard, you know, practicing on our own 4 days a week, really pushing the curve, and just fell in love with the game again, you know, and keep coming to the next level, you know. We were really good, obviously. You know, we went 24-2. Yeah. Our only loss, you know, we played Notre Dame, who was one of the best teams out there. We played them in our regional championship, in the final championship game as well. So there's some good competition, and that always makes it better, you know.
On another note, so you played at Bridgewater this past year, and you guys went to the conference championship this year, lost to Worcester State in overtime. tough loss, I know, yeah. But still, just talk a little quickly about your season this year and what's your opinion on just D3 basketball in general?
Absolutely, yeah. So this year, really the last 2 years, we're really trying to build that program up. You know, I came in, and the year before, they had 4 wins in total. So, and new head coach, a couple of new guys coming in, me coming in, and I really wanted to be a part of that change, you know. So we really did that. Our first half of the year this year was a little shaky, but we really rallied together and really pulled it through and obviously made it to the conference championship and played one of the most competitive, best games of basketball I've ever played in my life, you know. Sucks and it was heartbreaking, but I wouldn't have changed it. You know, I love playing like that. As for D3, I thought it was great. You know, it's high competition basketball, you know. You get all levels. You get high and low. So we play a lot of good competition that always makes the game better, you know.
Absolutely. I respect that big time, bro. We appreciate you hopping on, my guy. Good luck rest of the day, bro.
Appreciate you.
All right, we're here at Isaiah Gathers, who's from Brooklyn, New York, just finished his first season professionally in Australia, and you actually went to Lehman College. So just talk about what it's like being here, playing in front of scouts in your former college.
Being here feels great, you know, familiar setting around my coaches, you know, the area where I lived at. We're actually from the Bronx, but I moved to Brooklyn about like 9 years ago. So definitely good to be here, have a lot of fun, you know, feeling comfortable, and, you know, looking forward to playing with a bunch of guys with a lot of talent.
So, like KG just said, you just finished up your first year playing pro. What were some things that you learned that season, and like, what do you feel like you need to improve upon this offseason?
I learned to be more vocal and be more patient with my game and expectations, because, you know, after my season, you know, I had a good season individually. So coming to Australia, playing professionally, you know, some guys tend to go on another team expecting to do the same thing they did before, but not really, you know, being patient and learning how to mesh with other guys and playing as a team. So I definitely learned to be patient and play better with guys. So that's the one thing I really learned from them.
And what are you looking to work on in your game this offseason?
Really working on to be more of a leader, be more of a facilitator on the court. That's one big thing I have, being vocal. Because when I'm playing, like, I like to be, like, you know, silent. And, like, you know, that's just how I play. But I'm learning to get better at being more vocal and talking to guys.
I want to talk more about your basketball game and your final season at Lehman, playing in CUNY. You average almost 21 points. Just under 10 rebounds, so almost a double-double. Just talk a little about your game and the strength you have on the court.
Coming in at Lehman College freshman year, I was playing a five. So, you know, I was like, playing a five, what? But, you know, I trusted my coach. I worked with him a lot, and he said just trust him. So, you know, as the years progressed, I became the five to the four to three. So my last year, senior, became the three. So I became more versatile. I was able to play each spot. So it was fun because, you know, he could put me anywhere and I would be comfortable.
So you've already played in Australia and you're playing in the TBL right now. So how do you think D3 helped you, like, in your ventures in playing pro?
Mindset, a lot of hard working skills made me think that, like, wherever you play at or wherever you come from, it doesn't matter, because when you're on a court, everybody playing against each other, so everything doesn't matter anymore. But it told me a lot of competitiveness. It really made me mentally tough. Sticking with it, what I do every day consistently, like working out and stuff. So it made me better mentally, to be honest.
Basketball is a tough sport, you know, physical, dealing with different challenges. So I'm just curious how you've dealt with adversities in your career and what advice you would have for people dealing with their own adversity.
Oh, man, keep going. Be positive. Keep working no matter what, bad games, good games. You just got to stick with it because you never know what could happen, you know. Everybody, when you want to be great, you got to go through tough times. And I've been through a lot of that. So, but the only thing, I love basketball, so that's what made me keep going. And then a lot of things started opening up. So I would just say, like, be consistent in everything you do.
We appreciate you getting on the pod, bro. Good luck the rest of the day, my guy.
All right, we're here with Jeremiah Sparks, who just finished his college career at Oswego. How you doing today?
I'm good. Excited to be here down in the city. I've only been here a handful of times, so it's an experience for me.
So, you know, your season just ended. You finished a great career at Oswego, and now it's the offseason, it's the summer. So what are you looking to improve upon in your game?
I definitely think the strength and conditioning part of my game is a big jump when playing overseas. Also, just being able to, like, be versatile in every way, finishing right hand, left hand, mid-range, and three-point game. So.
So, like he said, you just had a great career at Oswego. You finished your career averaging a career high in points. What should people know about Jeremiah Sparks and his game?
I'm a winning player, make winning plays, and play hard. So I think that's my three best attributes.
I respect that. So, you know, you played, like we've been talking about, you played at Oswego under a great coach and a great program, and you played 5 years there, right?
Yep.
And I'm curious to know, how would your teammates describe you as a guy in the locker room? Like, what would they say about you?
Funny guy, but, I mean, down to business. They'll see me in there an hour early. They'll see me there an hour later. They'll see me in there when we don't have practice and stuff like that. So it's just setting an example in the locker room is a good thing.
This is going to be the final question, but basketball is a tough, challenging sport. It's not going to be easy all the time. So how have you personally dealt with adversities, and what advice would you give to people dealing with adversity and challenges in their career?
I think everybody faces adversity in life, not just in basketball. So just keeping that in mind, that everybody has their own challenges that they got to overcome, and you can overcome yours. So
we appreciate you getting on, bro. Good luck rest of the day, my guy.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're here with Howie Rankin, having a great day here at the We Are D3 Pro Combine. Just finished his career at Widener. Just how you feel about today and your performance?
I've been just trying to win, to be honest, hoping that the way I play kind of carries over and wins games. But I think I've been doing all right so far, kind of finding my spots, hitting some open shots, trying to create for other people, play defense on the other side of the floor.
Word. So you just finished up your career at Widener. You played at Susquehanna for 4 years as well. What are you looking to improve upon heading into your ventures, you know, as a potential professional basketball player?
As a basketball player, I mean, there's no such thing as really achieving a perfect craft. So, like, of course, I'm always trying to perfect my craft, but really just getting a deeper bag, learning how to score from any spot on the floor. I'm only a 6-foot guard, so it's hard to score sometimes when you've got a 6'4", 6'5" guy defending you. So really just learning different spots on the floors and different ways to put the ball in the basket.
You're obviously a skilled basketball player. You're scoring on basically everybody in front of you. But I'm just curious how you are as a person. You know, how would your teammates describe you as a teammate?
I think they describe me as sort of a ball of life. I carry a chip on my shoulder, but I try to be happy all the time. I'm a loving guy. I love to see my teammates win. I want everybody to eat. That's how I would describe myself. That's how I think they describe me.
Talking a little bit more about your game, what do you think? What is something that people should know about your game? Like, what do you really bring to the table at the end of the day?
Even though I'm a 6-foot guard, I do absolutely everything. I defend, I rebound, I facilitate, I score. It doesn't really matter. I can guard 1 through 4, occasionally a 5 if I'm front. But, like, you know, I'm a little height challenge. But I feel like the stigma is with guards, at least of my caliber, either you're a really good shooter or you're a really good driver. But I like to feel like I have no weaknesses, just strengths that aren't as strong as the other ones.
Yeah. He's not lying about his defense. You know, he led the MAC Commonwealth with almost 3 steals a game, so that's big time from him. And this is the last question, but obviously basketball is a tough sport. You deal with a lot of adversities throughout your career. What advice would you have to people dealing with their own challenges and struggles throughout their career?
Just keep going, man. I put all my faith in the Lord above, and I think that carries you as long as you need to go. He's always going to be there. As long as you keep faith in him, you'll get to wherever you need to.
I respect that big time, bro. Good luck rest of the day. Keep killing it, my guy.
Thank you.
All right, we're here with Stephon Baxter. Just finished his last year at Babson College, formerly at Bates. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm ready to compete today.
So, you know, you just finished up your last year at Babson. You guys made it to the tournament. You were formerly at Bates. Talk a little bit about your college career, all that good stuff.
So my college career started in 2019. You know, coming in as a freshman, you know, there's you know, upperclassmen that you got to compete against to earn your minutes. Definitely learned that the hard way coming into Bates, you know, thinking, you know, I'm all this kind of coming out of high school, but you know, just kept my head down and, you know, continued to put in the work and trust in the work, and you know, eventually, you know, started getting some more minutes as the freshman year went on, began starting, and then after my freshman year, went into a bigger role after COVID, and you know, I was the leader of the team at Bates for 3 years, and, you know, put up some pretty good stats, good enough to, you know, be recruited by a great school like Babson. You know, they're known for winning and making the NCAA tournament. That's definitely why I kind of went over there. And, you know, I made my NCAA appearance over there and had a, you know, a pretty good season over there as well, too. So that's my college career. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about that. You just averaged over 19 points a game, shot over 40% from the three-point line. What do you think people should know about Stephon's game?
You know, I'm a 5'11 point guard from Worcester, Massachusetts. You know, I've always been told my whole life that, you know, I'm too small or, you know, I'm not big enough. And, you know, like I said, like trusting in your work, like, you know, believing, you know, what KD said, you know, hard work beats talent, talent doesn't work hard. And, you know, ever since I heard that as a little kid, that really stuck true to me. And, you know, as I stayed in the gym, I began to see the results against that talent and, you know, in reality. So, you know, I stayed true to that. And because of that, I kind of have how, you know, my career has played out. And, you know, I'm still trying to chase my dreams. So,
a lot of the times as like a smaller guard, like you can't really have any weaknesses in your game, right? So you just finished up your last year at Babson and now you're in the offseason. What are you looking to improve upon this summer?
Definitely trying to improve upon my shot consistency, you know, getting the ball to my pocket every time, trying to shoot the same shot, getting more rotation on my ball. You know, even though you're 40%, I'm a 40% three-point shooter, there's always room for improvements. And, you know, just trying to get a little bigger, try to stay in the weight room. But yeah, that's really it. Trying to play as much as possible, trying to play against bigger guards, longer guards, because that's kind of like what teams do against me is, you know, they put long athletic wings against me. So, you know, trying to just compete against that in, you know, my practices and my workouts and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Transferring is a different world, and you moved from Bates to Babson. Like you said, you guys had a great year at Babson, but I'm curious how the guys in the locker room would kind of describe you as a leader and a teammate.
Are you talking about from the transition or just like in general?
Just in general.
Just in general. I think guys see me as more of a lead by action than a vocal leader for the most part. But on the floor, definitely a vocal leader. But, you know, guys will see me in the gym whenever. I'm always trying to get guys in the gym with me. They'll always see me working out or they're asked to, you know, get in with me and stuff like that. You know, I'm leading guys either, you know, on the court or, you know, just trying to even off the court, just like, you know, going to get lunch with guys, going to get dinner with guys, you know, making sure that the team chemistry staying up and, you know, anything that goes on the court, you know, as soon as we step off the court, you know, we're boys at the end of the day. But, you know, guys understand that, you know, when we step inside these lines that, you know, I'm going to go at them. I want them to come at me. And that's the best way. That's the way we're going to get better. And that's the you know, that's the way we're going to be the best team we can be. So
that's going to do it for interview with Stephon Baxter. Good luck for the rest of the day, bro.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, we're here with Delvin Barnstable. Just finished his first game. Also just finished his career at Wisconsin Whitewater, where you're actually from Wisconsin. So just talk about, you know, what it's like being here in New York playing at the We Are D3 Pro Combine.
It's a privilege to be here, first of all, to have an opportunity like this. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin, never been to New York. So coming here itself was awesome. So far today, I'm impressed. It was a pretty good combine so far. Got some good talent here. And I'm just here to showcase what I got.
So, like KJ just said, you finished up your career at Wisconsin Whitewater. What you been doing in the offseason? Like, what you been working on?
A lot of my weaknesses, so I'm not going to exploit what those are. But just getting in the gym, man. I do a horrible job of taking time off. I just love being in the gym. I love to play against guys better than me. I play against a lot of D1 guys and stuff, which is why I love coming to stuff like this. When I saw it was an all D3. I had to hop on this opportunity because it seems so awesome.
Yeah. I'm a lefty myself, so I always support fellow lefties. Yeah. So just talk about your game and the advantages you bring.
I mean, obviously, being a lefty, if nobody knows, it creates an advantage for a little bit. And then once they figure it out that I had to force you right, and then when you go right, then they get lost. So just gotta stay even keeled and be able to do everything.
The WIAC has some pretty good teams, and – I just want to hear just how you think, you know, playing in that conference and overall D3 as a whole is going to help you in your transition to the pro level.
Right. I think the WIAC is probably one of the best conferences for D3 in the country. We went to the Final Four last year. this year, not so much. But, I mean, Platteville did. They went to Elite Eight, I believe. So we usually always got somebody going. And it's just – it's a very physical conference. So, like, the physicality I try to bring when I play is where I get it from. And I'm super grateful to have been played there.
You just finished your first game. What was your mindset, you know, entering the game and just coming to this combine in general?
Just play my game. I didn't try to, you know, do anything super crazy. I just stuck to the shots I know I can hit and try to look for my teammates and to play some defense because I love playing defense. I mean, a lot of people just love to play offense these days and be flashy and stuff, but I like to go for loose balls, rebound, play defense. So, yeah, stuff like that.
Last question that we're going to, you know, ask you, you know, with basketball, it's a game with a filled with mistakes or sometimes even adversity for some players. And, you know, you just finished up a career. So I'm just wondering, what would be your biggest piece of advice just for athletes going through adversity? And also, how have you dealt with adversity yourself?
What I would tell athletes is if you really love basketball, man, you'll find a way. You'll keep going. I had hip surgery actually last year, and that put me out for 8 months. So, you know, coming back from that was one of the hardest things in my life. But to be back here playing is I'm just grateful. So to tell if anybody's seeing this, I'd just say if you really love basketball, just keep going, man. If you really love it, you'll find a way to keep playing.
Respect that big time, bro.
Appreciate you helping us out and keep killing it. Good luck for the rest of the day.
Appreciate you, guys.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right, we're here with Kurt Hines, who just finished his career at Maine Maritime. And, you know, you're from Stuttgart, Germany, so just talk a little about your time there and any differences you noticed, you know, from Germany to the United States.
So, I mean, I spent my senior year over there of high school, and it was definitely tough with COVID. Like, they were real strict, way stricter than the U.S., so I didn't really even have a senior season for basketball. But I was lucky enough to actually have people that put me on a German team, actually. So I played a little bit with the Germans and got to see how they played. And, you know, that really helped me actually get film out for college coaches. And so having that, you know, that experience, that different style of basketball, I think, definitely helped me, you know, prepare for college. I mean, I'm not the most athletic guy out there, but, you know, I think, you know, with that playing over there helped me, you know, be able to pass better, be able to find, you know, be a little crafty around in the post and find other ways to score. And so, you know, I'm really blessed that I got to, you know, really be over there in Germany. And, you know, honestly, I'd rather have been over there than in here. So, yeah.
So, you know, traveling from a whole different country has its own challenges, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of interested to hear, you know, how was it like when you first came to the U.S. in college? Like, and what was that transition like?
I mean, like, where I go to Maine Maritime, and it's completely different than Layman, any other really college, any D3 really. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's about an hour. It's about 30 minutes from the nearest McDonald's. And so, I mean, there's basically nothing to do there except play basketball and go to school. And so, but I think that moving around, being a military child that I was, definitely helped me and prepare me for, you know, making new friends, you know, kind of blending in. I think the basketball team obviously helped me out a lot. And so just moving around a lot helped me prepare for college in general. So, yeah.
You just had a great season. You averaged close to 20 points, over 15 rebounds with 5 assists, which is just incredible. So just talk about your game and what people should know about, you know, what you bring to the table.
I mean, I think people should know that I can score the ball. I love to pass. I know I wouldn't really consider myself a pass-first player, but if I see somebody open, I give up the ball real easy. My team, we struggled a little bit shooting throughout the season, but, you know, having, you know, guys that still get in the gym every day and, you know, get up shots definitely, you know, helps me out with those assists. And then, you know, with rebounding, I love to rebound and play a little like Jokic, you know, that European kind of, you know, players that I kind of learned from Germany. So I'm looking to throw the ball when I get it, and then obviously scoring around the post. And getting the ball, definitely, I mean, I could really do it all, honestly. Yeah.
What are you looking to improve upon, you know, this offseason and heading into, like, you know, playing overseas?
I think the main thing would be my shooting. I mean, it's weird. Like when I come out here and I, you know, shoot for practice and stuff, I mean, I can make it, but it's a little bit of the confidence in games, I would say, which sounds kind of funny because, you know, my stats would say a little different, but I think shooting would be the biggest thing. I think if I could stretch the floor a little more, that can open up everything else for my teammates as well. So I would say my shooting probably, and my lateral quickness and obviously stuff like that. So I can be quicker and be able to guard a little more out on the perimeter, but I would say my shooting in that.
All right, well, we appreciate you hopping on, bro. Good luck rest of the day, my guy. Yes, sir, bro.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're here, second go around with our boy Tejah Singh. How you feeling today?
Feeling good, feeling good. Glad to be back on the podcast.
Yes, yeah. We appreciate you doing this, bro. You know, it's been a good event so far. You know, what did your preparation look like? I was talking to Hank a little bit, you know, before the day started, and he said that you guys have been together just working out and stuff like that. So talk about that.
Yeah, so I didn't really know about this until a couple weeks ago. But leading up, just tuning up the things that are part of my game, not trying to do anything crazy or extra. So me and Hank have been working out. I was in Toronto a couple days ago at my uncle's gym, and we were getting some work there, so, yeah.
We talked earlier in our episode, you know, you were having a great year at Hamilton. Just talk about what the experience of playing against, you know, older guys that are trying to get into the pro world while you still have one more year of college left.
Yeah, it's a really good experience, first and foremost, getting a step into this world and just see what it's like. The competition's great. It's really cool to be, you know, playing with guys that are, you know, at the top of their teams or their leagues and guys that I don't normally play against. So I'd say it's a great experience. Get under my belt and play with these guys. I'm excited for what's next.
So you played a couple games so far, and also you just finished up your junior year and you're heading into your senior season. So this offseason, what are you looking to improve upon?
Yeah, I'd say first of all, just the strength. And that's something that comes naturally as well. I feel like I'm at that stage where, you know, junior going into senior year, I'm at the point where I can put some muscle on. I think that'll improve my game a lot, even with where I'm at, just being able to stay in my spot, hold my own defensively. Offensively, trying to be more consistent and be able to get in the paint, both to score and to distribute and just read the game as a point guard. I think it's coming along fine. I'm happy with how I've been playing, but definitely some things I could work on, so yeah.
This is going to be the last question, but obviously you've dealt with your own adversities throughout your career. What advice would you give to, you know, people dealing with adversity in their life, and especially hoopers dealing with the challenges of basketball?
Yeah, man, I'd say the biggest adversities aren't always on the court. A lot of it's off the court and how you deal mentally. You know, I think everyone goes through it. Been through some ups and downs. I'd say the one thing that I've learned is that it never lasts. As much as it feels, whether it's an injury or going through something mentally, you know, it feels overwhelming in the moment, as if, you know, it's not going to end and this is what it's going to be like forever. And it always changes as long as you kind of take it day by day. There's always a quote I heard before where it was like, people overestimate what they can do in a day, but they underestimate what they can do in a year with just that consistency. So I really think that's the key.
I like that answer a lot, but that's going to do it, man. Good luck the rest of the day, my guy. Appreciate you coming back on the pod.
Good luck next year too, bro. All
right, so we're here with Jerron Fairweather. How you feeling today, bro?
I'm feeling good. A little tired. It's been a minute since I ran up and down like that, but I'm good, though.
Yeah, you just finished the game, and you was killing, bro. Talk about your mindset just going into the game and, you know, How it came out.
My mindset coming into the game was, I mean, my game, like how I opened up a lot of my game is defense and transition. So just getting the ball out, getting easy buckets, and taking what they give me. Today I feel like they was giving me a lot of threes. I don't know why, but I was hitting them. So, but yeah, I was just taking it, being aggressive. I put a lot of work in before getting here against top level guys. So I wasn't really worried. I just prayed, trust my work, and I just knew everything would come to fruition.
Talking more about better letting you shoot, I saw you shot 46% from three this year. So just talk about a little bit more about your game and what you bring to the table.
My game is two-way, three-level score. Sounds like something like a 2K.
Yeah, I'm about
to play. But that's really how I describe my game. I can score all the levels. I can shoot from deep. I can shoot the midi. I can get to the lane whenever I want to. And I'm also a two-way player. I love to play defense before. offense really started clicking for me. Defense was my way to get on the court, and that's still part of me. So that's really what I discovered my game. Two-way, three-level score, and just a leader in the court trying to get everybody going, even if I'm not going.
Talking more about your game again, so obviously you're talking highly, but there are areas of improvement for everybody. So what are you trying to work on throughout this offseason?
I'll probably say my playmaking and my ability to slow down at times. I'm very fast on the court, but I feel like sometimes I speed up a little too fast, which I've been working on with my trainers a lot in the offseason, even when it comes to like in the half court and the full court slowing down. I feel like when I slow down, I'll be making better decisions, passing the ball, working a better shot. So definitely slowing down and playmaking. Throughout my years at Eastern, they kind of geared me to score the ball, and teams have kind of, over the course of the season, some teams started like triggering in on me, so I spoke at that time because I was trying to go for myself instead of praying for others, because that would definitely be open once I start praying for others. So praying for others, and I'd probably say playmaking and just slowing down that time.
So you just finished up a career at Eastern, like we were talking about, and you guys lost to Keene State in the NCAA tournament, unfortunately. But still, Keene State's a really good team, and now you head into the pros. So talk about playing in the NCAA tournament, the D3 NCAA tournament, and how that's going to prepare you just for playing in the pros.
Playing in the tournament definitely a dream come true. Now is my second time getting there. My first time, we got on a bid because we lost to Hood in the championship. But this year, we won. We beat Widener, a top 15 team in the country, so that was love. But playing in the tournament always been a dream of mine, especially for the first year we lost. We got bombed on by Rochester, so I wanted to come back this year and win. And we beat the New Jersey squad, I forgot. And they played a great team at Keene State. I ain't going to speak too much about that, but I had food poisoning the night before. So that is the reason why we got beat so bad. Me personally, all respect to Keene State, I'm saying we win that game if I'm healthy. But that's just my opinion, and I'm going to stand on that regardless. But yeah, it was definitely a dream come true. That environment was great. The student section all stand up the whole game. The whole city come out to watch that game. And just the environment of the best of the best teams there is just, you can't beat that.
It's going to be the last question. Just how do you think your teammates would describe you from Eastern University?
My teammates probably describe me, I'll probably say on the court, I'll probably say a leader, without a doubt, lead by example, somebody that's going to, he's not going to tell you something he doesn't do. Off the court, I'll probably say he's an idiot, somebody that's always laughing, jumping around, somebody that likes to have fun. But yeah, that's probably how it's going to come. My teammates, off the court, they joke around a lot, but they know, like, what's the game come like, my nickname is Book, they know Book don't play on the court, so yeah, that's probably what I see my teammates describe me as.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And keep killing it.
I appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir, bro. I'm here. So we're here with my guy, Alex Sobel. How you doing today, bro?
Doing well.
Yeah. All right. This is our second time with you. You know, our first time was a great episode. If you haven't got that, go watch that. Watching your game today, you're the only person getting double teamed, and you're just really dominant out here. So how is that experience, you know, being one of the better players after you just were at a Division I school? And you might have not been the best player.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are good, though. I mean, I don't think the drop in level is big at all. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these guys are definitely scholarship guys. So, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, just I'm used to passing out of doubles at this point. So, trying to make good plays. Didn't go so well in the last game, but, yeah.
So, you know, now that your season just ended, what you been working on in your game? Like, now, like, you know, you have 4 years of film at Middlebury and 1 year at Sacred Heart. So what's been the offseason? What's the offseason been like for you?
So the first 6 weeks were rehab. I wasn't really on the court. But then past month or so, just trying to move my game a little further from the basket, be comfortable with the ball out there. It's a work in progress. But
we saw you shoot a three.
Yeah. I wasn't very comfortable still, but it's getting there. Yeah.
So obviously, you're a great player on the court. I'm just interested, you know, how would guys on your team throughout your college career, how would you perceive or how would they perceive how you are as a teammate and as a person?
I think pretty laid back and fun, like when it's appropriate to be. Try to, you know, keep it light most of the time, unless we're losing. But other than that, yeah. I've had good relationships at both schools, especially Middlebury, so. Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, obviously we talked to, you know, off camera about this, but JB is one of my really good friends. And, you know, when I was talking to him about you, he literally said the same thing. Like, he's a really nice guy, but on the court, when he needs to get serious, he's serious. So definitely that stamps what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else. I don't think we have anything else to really ask him, but we appreciate you hopping on again, bro. It's been you've been killing. Just good luck rest of the day, my guy.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Coaches around D3 like what you're doing. Like, I remember even with, like, my first year, there's a little bit of coverage, but then, you know, there's been coverage from guys on Twitter and stuff more and more, and it makes it fun, makes it feel more important, you know, maybe than it is, but, you know, it's hot. A lot of guys put, you know, full-time job into getting better at basketball, so it's fun to have people watching the games and caring about them and following it, like D1, so.
We appreciate you, bro.
Big love. All right, we're here with Jalen Jordan, who's from American International College, a Division II school, has never played at the D3 level. So just talk about, you know, your perspective being here at the We Are D3 Pro Combine.
Pretty much, like, at all levels, you know, everybody's good for it. Like, you just can't really, what you call it? I can't think of the word.
Doubt anyone.
Overlook none of that, like, for real. The only thing you look at is just height in D1 and there, but everywhere else is like the same level of basketball. So it's a good competition.
As a D2 guy, you know, coming to a setting like this, you know, and obviously trying to perform in front of scouts, what do you think, you know, scouts, players, and coaches should know about your game?
Me, I'm more of a, like, an inside-out type of person. As you can see, like, I've been playing here, have a nice little midi. Still working on my three, but it's there, it's cash out. I could play big man, I could hold myself down there, and I could play out, you know. So anything, you know, rebound, anything I could possibly do around hustle man, anything, I try to do.
What about your experience at the college level do you think is going to help you at the professional level?
Definitely. My coach always feed us, like, you know, play off of two, move, you know, just the common stuff a coach will honestly say to you for just – come out, play off of two and stuff like that, yeah.
So, you know, any 10 is a really tough division. You know, there's a lot of different – or tough conference, rather. It's a really tough conference with a lot of really good teams. And, you know, some games you might win, some games you might, you know, get smacked sometimes. That's kind of how it happens in the any 10. And some games you're going to have, you know, good games, some games you're not going to play well. So talk about, like, how you dealt with just, like, adversity when it comes to just, you know, basketball.
Well, this year – definitely had a lot of adversity on my team. Like, we had, you know, some people have to, you know, get kicked off the team. We had injuries. Even due to myself, I had an injury, but I kept playing. And I threw out that it's like, you know, if you're not doing good at this aspect, you know, try to do something else to, you know, help your team out, you know, get through. Make sure everyone, you know, on top of the game, you know, be that at least leader, like, on the court. Like, hey, keep going. We need this from you. Keep going. Grab rebounds, assists. You know, do something else that, you know, if something else is not working for you.
A quick little thing. We've been talking to a lot of guys, like, and they say, like, what helps them stay grounded or, like, go push through adversity is, like, having a why, right? And you were talking about how, like, you know, this season with AIC, like, lost some guys. How did you stay grounded ultimately through all that, like, turmoil?
So that, like, okay, so I was one of the older guys on the team. So for that, like, you know, we would have meetings with the team, you know, come together to make sure everybody was level-headed, we had one place, and we know what we have to do to win. And knowing that even the people who did get kicked off, they were still family. Like, we still reach out to them. We still do that. Because at AIC, that's one thing we try to do. We try to make sure everyone's family, everyone's level-headed, and we all stay together.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, and definitely keep shooting that midi. It's looking good. So good luck for the rest of the day.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right, we're here with Nick Horowitz from Mount Sinai. Just finished his career at Farmingdale State, playing in the Skyline. How you doing today?
Doing good. I'm ready to compete. You know, we got a good squad here, but ready to get showcased and ready to go in a little bit. But.
So you just finished up your career, and, you know, it's the offseason now. It's the summer. So what are you looking to improve upon your game heading into, you know, your future with basketball?
Yeah, so right now I'm been training strength and conditioning with one of my guys, and then also basketball training on the side as well, kind of keeping everything together since the season just ended a couple months ago. So just trying to stay in shape with my athletic ability, get stronger, quicker, faster, everything you need to do to compete at the next level.
I want to talk just briefly about this season. You guys were 27-3, had a great season. You averaged almost 19 points a game. You lost to Hampden Sydney, who's the number one ranked team in the country. Just talk about a little of that game and how it was playing a great team like that.
Yeah, I mean, from the start, we knew going into that game if we were going to have to play them before the day coming up to it. We knew they have a great atmosphere, a lot of fans there. It's hard to play in that arena. They got a lot of great players on their team. Been together for a while, just like us, but, you know, we kind of got punched in the mouth from the stars or to come back from it, and, you know, we just kind of ran into a bustle, but they're a good team.
So, like KJ was saying, you average 19 a game, almost 9 rebounds a game as well. What do you think people should know about your game?
I mean, I could do it all, shooting, passing, you know, obviously rebounding, you can see, but defending, I got great length on both sides of the court that affect the game in many ways. But really just do it all player, you know, not trying to force shots or anything, just trying to get into the flow of the game and play well with my teammates.
Obviously, you're moving on from the Division III world and trying to get a pro contract and play pro basketball. So what areas of your game are you trying to improve on?
The defensive end, I think I could get quicker on the lateral side of things. I want to get more athletic, obviously, you know, going up against quicker guys. I'm going to have to guard a 1-4 type players and guys who have been through it all. I've been there for a while, so I just kind of got to get quicker on the offensive defense end.
So we read online that you have type 1. So just talk a little bit about that and just like your experience, you know, playing basketball with diabetes.
I mean, I've had it since I was 8 years old, so I've had it for 14 years now. It's kind of just, you know, second nature to me at this point, just dealing with it. It's obviously caused a lot of adversity for me, but in terms of excuses, you know, the only excuse is something that you make for yourself. No one's going to, you know, really worry about your own situation. Everyone's got their own problems. So, you know, I've just dealt with it, kept a tight circle with people who really care about you, and I've just been able to deal with it ever since.
This is going to be the last question. I'm just curious, how would you or how would your teammates especially describe you as a teammate and a leader in the locker room?
So, I mean, I've got named captain for going into my last year. Obviously, you know, being a vocal leader wasn't something I've always been, but I always knew I had to being the guy on the team. So a lot of the guys keeping it as fun as possible, keeping it as, you know, uprising on and off the court in the locker room, keeping the guys together, just being more of a vocal leader as one of the older guys on the team, being a fifth year, you know, a lot of the guys look up to you, especially when you're the guy. So being able to carry everyone on your back and, you know, really, you know, set it straight for everyone going forward.
So that's going to wrap it up. You know, we appreciate you hopping on, bro. Good luck rest of the day, my guy.
Thank you, bro.
All right, we're here with Coach Harris. How you feeling today, Coach?
Excited. Happy to see all this hard work actually come to fruition and be something, a living, breathing event that we can all attend now.
Yeah.
So you're actually coaching at UMass Boston right now, which makes me, like, you know, wonder, what's your connection to Division III?
Played at Division III Rhode Island College. Obviously, I coached at Division III Plymouth State University, and then now I've been at University of Massachusetts Boston for the last 8 years, a Division III institution.
So Little East Conference, you know, they have Keene State. You guys are in that conference. It's a pretty good conference. There's some pretty good teams in there. Just talk about, you know, the level of play in Division III as a coach and what you have seen from it and the evolution maybe over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so even before the portal, we'd be saying, like, you know, D3 guys can hoop too, D3 guys can hoop. And now with the portal, I mean, you're looking and you're seeing guys who are at Division III going up, and you're seeing guys who are at Division I come down. And the guys at D3 sometimes have more success than the guys at Division I when they come down. But, you know, each individual situation is its own situation. So, you know, the level, the conference, and just the level in general, any night anybody can beat anybody. We beat Holy Cross a couple years ago, and, you know, every year a lower level team beats a Division I. So level is really just kind of where you end up going to school at, more so than your talent.
This is going to be my last question. What does it mean to you to, you know, be a part of something so special, the first ever We Are D3 Pro Combine?
You know, it's humbling to be a part of it. I'm appreciative of Reg, you know, keeping me involved in Top Shelf, working with me, and you guys for giving this exposure. And there's been so many other groups that kind of helped get us here with the brand, with the shield, with We Are D3, but actually having a pro combine and some of the guys who may or may not go on to play for the national team, you know, to still get the opportunity to get exposure, still be seen, and still get some good competition. I tell you, you know, all these guys are really good players too, and You can see where there's a lot of wins out here. A lot of seniors that won a lot of games.
Well, that's going to do it with Coach Harris. We appreciate you joining the show. Thank you for all you're doing for Division III.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, Coach.
We're here with my guy, Top Shelf, Director of Ops and Assistant Coach for We Are D3. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. I love all the competition and the skill level that's being shown here by D3 athletes. It's been a great day.
So I'm just curious to start, what's your connection to Division III and what made you want to get into being the Dobo for We Are D3?
Yeah, great question. D3 landed a spot at Wichita about 4 years ago. And I grew up in Central Mass. I'm from Worcester, Mass. And went to college out at Wichita State and stayed. As a matter of fact, my wife and I are celebrating our 30th anniversary in 2 weeks.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're going to Belize, so I'm leaving from here to go to Belize for a couple weeks. But no, getting involved with D3, I got this phone call from Reg, and, you know, I saw whatever New York area code, and I thought, well, maybe it's one of my buds I went to high school with.
Yeah.
And I answered it, and we just hit it off and found out we grew up near each other. He was from Western Mass, and yeah. I was from Worcester, Mass. And yeah. He just started asking, hey, do you got a gym? And, of course, I was the athletic director at Wichita West High School. And I said, you know what? Yeah. And, you know, I didn't even ask for anything. I just wanted to be a good host. That's kind of how it is out in Kansas. Yeah. You're hospitable. You treat your neighbor like you treat yourself, that kind of thing. And we just hit it off. And then the next year he brought on Coach Harris from UMass Boston, and we just really created a monster. We're just like really strong together. We're funny.
Yeah.
We love building up the brand for D3 basketball.
Yeah. So in our interview with Coach Reg, he was talking about how like in Kansas, like there's no Division III like programs out there.
No, there's no Division IIIs.
Yeah. I was gonna like this is a good transition, like. What was your like first thoughts just watching like the We Are D3 practice and now like watching it today and seeing what it's become?
Oh, it's exciting. It's exciting that we can provide an opportunity for D3 basketball athletes. I'd love to see this advance to women's basketball because I coached women's basketball at 6A is the highest level in Kansas. I coached at Wichita South for a while. And then when I got the AD job at Wichita West, it's another 6A job for athletic director. And I helped them out with coaching.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's going to be the final question. What does it mean to you to be a part of something so special as the first Division III or VIDP co-op?
Yeah, this is going to be the first of many.
Yeah.
We hope. This is a great start having it here at Lehman College in the Bronx. Maybe this will advance to Boston. We'd love to have it up there. Maybe help out some of the kids in Virginia. Maybe have one down there. And we have a kid here today from Willamette, which is up in Washington State. So, you know, that's a big sacrifice to come all the way across country. So, you know, maybe being able to go to where these kids are so they're not having to tax themselves so much financially to get to a combine. But this is a great start.
Yeah, I know.
Really excited.
It's been a very fun event today, and I'm just glad to be a part of this too with KJ. Like I'm glad that Coach Reg, you know, invited both of us to come through, and definitely, like you said, first of many.
Yeah, first of many. Thanks for being here. Thanks for doing this and promoting Division III basketball. Like I said, I'd love for this to take the next turn because women's basketball on the back of Clark from Iowa, that's now on Indiana.
Yeah.
I just think women's basketball is the next biggest thing, and let's promote these kids at the Division III level there too, boys and girls. So I'm all about it.
Yep.
I love it. Well, we appreciate you joining the show and keep doing what you're doing for the Division III landscape.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah.
All right, we're here with Coach Brainiac, the second all-around after
number two, take two.
So, you know, I've enjoyed my time here, but what have you thought of hosting your own BRD3 Pro Combine for the first time?
Yeah, I think it's been awesome. Like, I think the talent level here, I knew it was going to be good coming in, but it is really at a high level. Like, if you walked into this gym,
you wouldn't say, hey, these are D3 and D2 guys. You would say, like, these are D1 and D2 guys. So, like, I think, like, it is awesome for the brand of the division. Awesome for how well these players are representing their schools, their respective institutions, because they are handling themselves like professionals. It's awesome. And, like, our goal here is to give them exposure that they need. So some of them might be going back to their schools. Like, we have a couple players that are returning for 5 years, or a couple players that may be transferring after the year and things like that. So, like, whatever the opportunity is, whether it be agents, pro teams, next level, I think they've all represented themselves really well.
So, you know, just we talked to Top Shelf about this, and he seemed like he was so happy to, like, provide opportunities like this to D3 guys. So I just want to hear you talk a little bit more about that. Obviously, we talked about that in our podcast, but this is up close and personal now.
No, it's absolutely awesome. Like, to be able, if you take back, that's a good shot by Fairweather. I'll give him a plug right now. But that was, you know, like, the whole reason why we got into this, like, way back when was to provide opportunities through TBT, and this is another avenue for us.
Yeah.
And I think it's just awesome because, like, I think you and I were talking off air. Definitely a lot of these kids are representing well, where they're going to get contracts out of this or pro opportunities or whatnot. And then, you know, who knows, maybe we might take a couple with us. Yeah. But I think, like, it's going to be, like, I think just an awesome kind of energy of the group. And I think to be able to help in some way for these guys on their journey, like, that's all the thanks I need for sure.
So there's a ton of talent here. I'm seeing guys jump out the gym, go 23, 25 from three, or be able to split doubles with their dribbling. So, are there any specific players or matchups that you're especially invested in today?
Yeah, I think anytime you get some of this, like, length out there, like, even the kids that are, like, quote unquote vertically challenged, like, they can hoop.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a game earlier where Howie Rakeen, I'm probably butchering his name, but he was cooking nice and smooth at guard. But, like, a lot of the length here, what's been nice is, like, now we're entering, like, almost like the fifth set of games or whatever, but there hasn't been any blowouts. You know, it's been, like, players are really competing hard on both ends, which has been nice to see. It hasn't been like an NBA All-Star game, which I was kind of fearful of going in. I didn't want that. But, like, you know, these are guys that are competitors. They want to compete. They're competing for kind of representing themselves, their own brand, which in turn helps us and kind of what we do from the division. So, like, I think that's pretty dope in those regards. And, you know, I think that some of these guard matchups that you always kind of, you know, like to see on paper. Like, I always like to, when I'm doing my top 25 voting and things like that, well, what if such and such played here? Like, I like seeing it with our TBT team, like, matching up who's going to become top dog, you know, things like that. It's another opportunity for me to see some of those matches where you got a kid from Roanoke playing against a kid from Maine.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen. Like, yeah, it's pretty high level.
I was just going to ask you, so, you know, there's other, like, combines that happen throughout the summer, right? And, you know, you talked in the beginning of this combine, stay in your role, right? Yeah. Don't step out of your comfort zone. Can you speak a little bit more on that and, like, what, you know, these players need to do in order to receive interest from these D3 or professional leagues?
Yeah, so, like, you know, like what I was talking about earlier, in my experiences, Fairweather with another steal. You know, with that, just overall with roles, when it comes to professional opportunities for Division III players or Division II players, if you're going to get a scorer and you're an overseas team, chances are you're going to go look at Duke, North Carolina, UCLA. So it's just like the NBA in many regards. Like, though, the teams that win are the teams that fill roles really well. And I think, like, that's where these players, no matter what their skill set is, if they're a great – three-point shooter, then you better be lights out. If you're a lockdown defender, then you got to lock up. If you're a rebounder, do your job well. Yeah. Because, like, these teams are looking to fill specific roles. Not like, yes, if you can do a jack-of-all-trades type of thing, Swiss Army Knife, by all means, but they're looking to fill roles specifically, like a shooting big, a guard that can defend 1-4 with length. You know, for us, what we look for a lot with our national team, you know, with TBT, you know, we look at,
you know, can you, or versatility, like Fravert's a perfect example of from UW Oshkosh last year, where he's 6'8", can dunk and can stroke it from three, and had a great opportunity. And he's now being looked at by, you know, 3x3 to play at Team USA, which is awesome. But I think like those are the types of things. Can you fill roles and can you do it really well?
This has been a great event, and I just want you to have the opportunity to give anyone a little shout out who might be, you know, behind the scenes doing a lot of work now. It's in the spotlight that you are.
All right, am I supposed to get you guys, obviously. You know, and I think, you know, just like really, you know, I appreciate, like, we had a great session and lunch with Coach Up, which is one of our sponsors for the national team, to kind of help with these guys, like jobs, you know, training and things like that, and coaching opportunities when they're in their off season or when they're done with their careers. I think Hardy's strong foundation, Justin Hardy's, he's always with us, and his family and the foundation has been great supporters with us, because if without them, I'm not sure how much this goes on.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, you know, those are people that kind of really make it kind of rock and roll. Like, we have a great support staff here with Coach Harris, myself, Top Shelf. We kind of just grind through it, but like, no, it takes a village. And like, if I really named off everybody that really helps us along the way, you know, it'd take forever, but like, really, the D3 community is pretty special. And you know, like, we have our people, but like, you know, we're always here to help them as well. But there's a lot of people, but coaches, players, trainers, all that stuff has been great for the community.
Word. I respect that a lot. And you know, again, but from the both of us, we appreciate you like having us here. And it's been a great event, great day, and
Team
definitely,
Dayton.
Yeah.
Team Dayton.
Yes,
Team Dayton.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Team Let's Dayton. Do it.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2. If you haven't already, make sure to go follow all the socials at Not Even D2. You can catch every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm your host, KJ Allison, and I'll see you next episode.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.